All right. Well, good morning. Welcome to The Crossing. We're glad you're with us today. You know, we're excited about what God is doing. I believe God is here. He's alive and active. You believe that? Amen. If you're visiting with us, thank you for coming. Our purpose, our mission for being here is to become a disciple that makes disciples of Christ. We look at the Word of God. We see the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And the Great Commandment tells us what? It tells us to go into all the world, preach the God, or love God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the Great Commission is what? Go into all the world, preach the gospel. And we believe that when you become a disciple, you love God with all that you are, and you love others. And then when you accept that, you accept the mission of the Great Commission and go and tell others about Christ. Because that's what it's all about, the hope of Christ, experiencing, knowing Him. We're in a series today called Attitude Check. Attitude Check. Excuse me. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. If you'd like to follow along on the YouVersion app, you can follow there. If you go to the YouVersion app on your phone, which is the Bible app, you can look there under Live Events, under More tab, under Live Events, and you'll see the Crossing Church. You'll see Attitude Check there, and you can follow along in the notes, and it'll give you all that you'd like to do as you walk through this sermon today. But we're in a series called Attitude Check, dealing with the fact that all of us face circumstances in our life, chances where we get frustrated, irritated, and we have moments where we simply need an attitude check. Now, I don't know about you, those of you that heard this last week, you can relate to me. This week, my attitude was checked like 100 times. You know, it's like you speak on it, and like I've had so many opportunities, and I don't know what it is, but like my middle son, Eli, I probably apologized to him about 5 different times this week for my attitude. I'm like, he has had the innate ability to get under my skin all week long. And every time I'm like, Lord, I am failing miserably at this attitude check. And he said, why do you think I'm talking to you about it? Thanks, God. I understand. But the reality is we all go through difficult times. We all have moments in our lives where our attitudes, let's just put it bluntly, stink. And what we don't realize is that our attitudes, we often look at our attitude as a thermometer. We're mad, we're happy, we're sad. But what you may not realize is your attitude is not a thermometer. Your attitude is more of a thermostat. And it controls the environment around you. It has the ability to bring life and death to your situation. And what does an environment control? An environment controls what grows and what dies. And we often forget that our attitude has such a profound effect on us, and not just us, but those around us. And we have to understand the power of this and get in this through our skull. But the reality is also we get frustrated with life. We have situations and we tend to focus in on what's wrong and the bad things around us. And we don't realize that, you know what, it could be a lot worse. A quote my papa used to use all the time. He'd say, son, from the day you're born till you're riding a hearse, things may seem bad, but they could be worse. And I've never forgot that. It's so true. It's so true. We look at life and we think that, you know what, it's just our life's bad. We don't know. But the truth of the matter is, it could be worse. There could be more difficulties. There could be more pain. And we looked at a story of Viktor Frankl, and I want to share this with you for those of you that missed it. And by the way, if you miss anything in service and you want to hear the sermon from the week before, on that app you can also look and see the church media download, and you can listen to the sermon of last week. But I want to tell you the story about Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl was born in Austria in 1905 to a devout Jewish family. And from about 1933 to on into 1937, he completed his residency. He was a sharp kid, grew up with strong values, and he completed his residency and in neurology and psychiatry. A super smart guy. He was one of the leading edge scientists in dealing with so many different avenues. He actually was one that stood up to Hitler. Hitler was trying to prove that kids with Down syndrome had that they were not normal and they needed to be destroyed. And Hitler was beginning. We saw what the Holocaust was. He was purifying the race. And he was one of the few scientists and doctors that stood up and said this is not true and proved his theory. So he wasn't real high up on this list. But he was living in a time of the Holocaust in Austria, which is, as you know, is where World War II broke out because of the Nazi regime and the leadership of Hitler wanting to destroy the Jewish race as well as other people as well. And so you see this story of Viktor Frankl. He's a rising star. Literally, some of his mentors was, you hear of Sigmund and Freud? Well, Freud was one of his mentors. I mean, they recognized him as just an incredible human being. Well, in 1941, right when the war began to get really rocky, he got married. He got married to a young lady by the name of Tilly Grosser. They got married, and they had just been married recently, and they had the opportunity to go to the United States and get away from the war. In that process, he begins to think about it. He says, I need to talk to my parents. And he goes and speaks with his parents. And when he does, he's convicted in his heart. He needs to stay. He says, I need to be with my parents, knowing full well what could happen. And sure enough, as you can imagine, Viktor Frankl, his wife and his parents were all taken to concentration camp. He went to a series of four different concentration camps, one of which we've heard of often as Auschwitz was where he was. During that time, he lost his wife. He lost both his mother and father, who were executed. His religion was challenged. Everything he had was challenged. He had lost all that he knew, his profession, everything. And when he survived, he wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning, published in 1946. But in that book, he simply shares his story of the things that he faced and what he went through. But one of the most interesting quotes that we came out of last week and looked at is he said this. He says, everything can be taken from a man except from one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. Wow. In other words, you can take everything. Everything was taken from him. But he had a choice to make. How he responded. His attitude. When you look at his life and you think of the Holocaust and what they went through, you recognize that we don't have it that bad, do we? You see, he lost everything, but he had a choice. And we looked at that last week, that we have to understand when we look at this that everybody, that you are in control of your own attitude. You're in control of your own attitude. You make that choice of how you're going to respond. But we have to ask ourselves, well, what should our attitude be? What should our attitude be? In the midst of all that's sad, in the midst of all that's bad, what should our attitude be? In Philippians chapter 2, it gives us a very good illustration. Verses 3 through 5, it tells us, do not be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take the interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Okay, well, what is that attitude? Well, it starts by not being selfish and not having that in our lives. But when you read 6 through 11, you see Jesus' response, how he humbled himself, became the form of man, and died on the cross for our sins. And we see his attitude portrayed. But then in verse 13, it gives us a better illustration of what it means for us and how we respond. It says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining bright like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. So there again, you have to recognize that you're in control of your attitude. People can take everything from you, but you have a choice of how you're going to respond. And how you respond literally sets the tone for everyone around you. You can be angry, you can be sad, you can be frustrated, irritated, and guess what? That tension will flow over into your children, over into your workplace, everyone around you. Why? Because it's a thermostat. It controls it. That's why Jesus said, have the attitude of Christ. Let your light shine in a dark world. But here's what you have to understand about light. That light, in other words, everything that gives light must endure burning. Everything that gives light must endure burning. So we have to learn to endure burning. We've got to learn that. Everything that has light, there is a burning that goes on. We want to have our light shine without the burning. Amen? We don't want the burning. We don't want the pain. We don't want the struggle. But the burning is when your light shines the brightest. In the difficult times is when darkness surrounds you. And in that darkness is where your light has the ability and opportunity to shine. Philippians 2:16, it goes on. And it says, hold firmly to the word of life. Then one day, on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain, that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful servant is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share joy, share your joy. So when we see this here, he's saying you've got to hold firmly. You've got to make a choice. You've got to decide that I'm going to endure burning. To hold firmly, why would you hold firmly? It's because it's difficult. It's not easy. It's not just something you can walk up and do. It is tough to go through tough times. But in those moments is when your light has the ability to shine the brightest, based upon what? Well, looking at verses 14 and 15, based upon your attitude. When you can do things without complaining and arguing, what does it do? It allows your light to shine bright in a dark world. But oftentimes we can't focus on the good. Instead, we focus on what we don't have instead of what we do have. There's a story of a girl named Wendy Stoker. You may have heard of her before. She was a diver for the University of Florida. And as you look at this picture, you can see Wendy, she literally was the number two diver in the University of Florida and helped them win championships. But if you notice something different about Wendy, let me tell you a little bit about her before I point out some of her differences. Wendy was an incredible human being. She placed second in the competitions in the actual diving competitions in the national finals. She enjoys bowling. She enjoys water skiing. And she types over 45 words a minute, all without arms. You see, Wendy doesn't look down at what she does not have. Instead, she looks at what she does have. And when you look at this picture, you can see one of the dives in practice that she's doing there. Here she is, accomplishing great things with no arms. Many people look at this and say, you know what? Look what she doesn't have. But what made her incredible is that of what she does have, she chose to rise above it. It was her attitude that affected her altitude. It affected where she went in life. It affected what she did. And just as it is true in her life, so it is in our life. You will go through hard times. We talked about it last week, didn't we? John 16:33, it says, in life, you will face difficulties. You will face problems. It is around all of us. But take heart, because he has overcome the world. So you're going to face hard times, but you've got to know that God is with you. He is helping you. So if our light shines, let's just kind of wrap this and think this, put this in perspective. If our light shines in difficult moments is when our light shines the brightest, what is the purpose of our life? Look what Jesus said about the light. In Matthew chapter 5, he says, you are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. He's telling us, you're the light of the world. Well, we look at this and say, no, Jesus is the light of the world. But how is Jesus extended to others? Through you. Well, how can people see Jesus in you? In your difficult moments, when you respond and change the atmosphere around you because your attitude is right and you shine in verse 14 like a light in a dark world full of crooked and perverse people. You see, the reality of this is today, the moments you hate in life, the difficult struggles you've hate in life, that cantankerous coworker that you have to deal with every day, come on now, is an opportunity for you to be a light. That frustration in your family with your loved one who doesn't know the Lord is an opportunity for you to be a light. The struggle you're facing with health, the struggle you're facing with relationships, the struggle you're facing with finances. We can look at all these things and say, these are just terrible things. Or we can recognize they're an opportunity to be a light, to change the atmosphere around us, to allow everything to change. Why? Because our light's going to shine in a dark world full of crooked and perverse people. This past week, we had an incredible opportunity to meet with Wendy, Mike and Wendy's friend, Awatif. Awatif's from Tunisia, and she shared her story. If you missed it, you missed an incredible story. Because she shared her story of coming to Christ as a Muslim. And it was so interesting as I listened to her just share the ins and outs of what how she began to discover Christ. Do you want to know what it was that drew her to Christ? The light. It was the light of Christ shining in other believers. She talked about a family that came from Canada as missionaries. And her perception of what she thought the Western world was. And yet there was something different. That light shined so bright, she wanted to be around them. She ended up babysitting for them. And through a series And over time, in a series of events, God drew her to that light and she accepted Christ as her Savior. But let me tell you something. Awatif now pastors one of the churches, the house churches, there in Tunisia. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, give God praise. But as she was speaking, I could just sense the Holy Spirit saying, this is how valuable and important your attitude is. She said she always knew of the Western world of them to be fighting and cantankerous with each other and unfaithful to each other in their marriage. But that marriage, the woman and the husband and wife, that couple loved the Lord so much. Their light shined so bright, she couldn't understand it. Let me tell you something. God's light can shine brighter than any darkness. And you have to recognize that although he's God and he controls all things, he chooses to use you. And how does your light shine? Well, we see from Philippians 2, your light shines by your attitude. You get that? So you have to learn to endure burning because it shines brightest in the difficult times, around the difficult people. When you really want to get angry and tell them what for, that's when your light has the ability to shine the brightest. But you have a choice because as we talked about last week, you control that. You control your own attitude. Nobody else controls it for you. You have a choice you make. But that choice has the power to bring life and death. That choice has the power to produce growth or to destroy. On all levels. That's what makes this so interesting. It has the power to do it within your family. You set the tone in your house. You realize that? That's a humbling feeling. And that's why I was telling you. I'm like, Lord, boy, I failed. And God said, that's why I'm talking to you. I got to get your attention. But not just within your family. At your job. Everywhere you go in your neighborhood. Everywhere you go, you have the ability and the power to produce life. By letting your light shine, by having the right attitude. The right attitude. Because that's when everything begins to change. That's why in James 1, It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for your endurance is fully developed, and you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing." What's perfect and complete? When are we perfect and complete? Heaven. You're not going to be perfect here. Don't think just because you went through hard times you reached perfection. Perfection only comes in heaven. What is he saying here? So when you begin to digest that for a moment, that the hope of glory, heaven, comes when you learn to accept Christ and what? Consider it joy. If you consider it joy when you're going through a hard time, who's watching? Everyone around you that's in darkness. When they're in darkness, they're watching you. And how you respond literally can change the course of someone's life. Boy, that will give you an attitude check, won't it? We were sitting at McDonald's yesterday. And, you know, I talked about last week, give you notice that, you know, you ever been sitting at a light where someone honks at you? You know, or you put it this way, you honk at somebody because they're on their phone, you know, the light turned, you're like, come on, you moron, go, you know, you're frustrated, you're irritated. And then the next light, you're the one checking your phone, right? Of course, little Elm, they changed that, so better not do that now. We were sitting at McDonald's yesterday, and you know, just being real today, every time I go there, I got to check that order. I may not be the only one there, huh? You know, because I can't tell you how many times I pulled home. I'm like, oh, man, you know, attitude check, right? And so I'm sitting there, and I'm just going through it. I mean, a couple minutes. I mean, maybe not even a minute. You know, how you just enough to, you're doing the spot check of, yep, yep, yep. And then this guy pulls up behind us, and he, you know, he lays on his horn. And, you know, you just feel it rising in your spirit, you know. And I'm like, I got something to say, boy, you know. And like, about that time, Harrison goes, good grief. What's wrong with these people? Don't you know you got to check your order at McDonald's? I said, that's right, buddy. That's right. You do have to check your order at McDonald's. And I just pulled off and laughed. And he's like, why do they honk at us? What's the deal? I said, buddy, bottom line is, I said, we all have a choice to make. And I share with him what we're talking about here. I said, you get frustrated, and our natural reaction is to snap. You know, the word moron, idiot, did go through my mind. I'd be lying to you if I say it didn't, you know. You know, what's wrong with you? Seriously, you know. It's not like I'm doing there, you know. I got several more of those stories, but I'll refrain. But the point of it is this. You have a choice. And the truth is, in the most difficult moments of life, that's when you don't want to let your light shine. Come on now. Am I the only one that feels that way? That's when you want to tell them, this makes me mad. Yeah, it does. But it's your choice. But be careful, because you have no idea who's watching. You may never know that a story like a Watif's might be right next to you watching your reaction. They may be waiting for you to fail. And you have the power to be a light to them. And what did Jesus say? You are the light of the world. And in order for his light to shine in you, that means you have to recognize that in the most difficult moments of your life, you have the opportunity to change the environment around you. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. And watch God be God. Just close your eyes and reflect on that today. You're here today, we never want to close the service without giving you the opportunity to accept Christ. If you do not have a relationship with Christ, or maybe at one moment you did, but you've just allowed the things of this world to bring darkness into your life, and just being real, you've turned away from the Lord. But as we were speaking today, the Lord was speaking to you, saying, hey, I want you. I need you. I love you. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ, or you've walked away from him and you want to dedicate your life to him and say, Lord, I want to make a choice with no one looking around. We're not going to pull you out or embarrass you. I simply want to pray with you right where you're sitting, with every eye closed. If you're here and you need Jesus, just make eye contact with me. I want to pray with you right where you are. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Say, hey, just pray for me. I'm on a journey and I need the Lord. Amen. Maybe you're just rededicating your life, but you want to make it right today. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Let's pray. Romans chapter 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that he is Lord and believe in your heart, then you're saved. And let's pray today. Those of you that have accepted Christ, I want you to pray with us. We're not going to single anyone out. And let that be a reminder of what God did in your life. But let's all pray together. And those of you that responded today, let it be your prayer. Make this your personal prayer. But let's pray today and ask the Lord to confess with our mouth and then make a choice to believe, to follow him. Together, let's pray. Dear Jesus, I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for me. And today, I choose to live for you. Help me be a light in this dark world. In Jesus' name.